Good evening. I thank all of you for coming, and I welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This evening, I'm going to be trying to convey a message. It's a message of our lives. From God, and that He understands, and that He knows what we're going through. He wants us to be able to get through this life and put up with all of the hardships that the world has to throw at us, and do it in a way that when we meet strangers out in the world, that we can let them understand that God knows about them and that God cares about them. And that while we do this in our daily lives and how we treat each other and how we treat perfect strangers, He wants us to help each other. And He wants us to draw people close to Him. As well as ourselves. He knows that we are going through hard times. He knows what all of the political turmoil is in the world right now. And He understands it. And He knows the turmoils that we're having in our jobs and the turmoil that we're having in our own immediate families. And He understands it. And He wants us to understand that He doesn't like it. He wished it were not so, but He cannot force peace throughout the world. He can offer it to all of us, but He cannot force it. I'm going to read, I'm going to start in John, 14th chapter, and then we're going to be talking about some historical hard times and reading about some of them. On two different continents, and then we'll be reading some more out of the Bible and about some more hard times again out of the Book of Mormon, and then we'll be finishing up back in John in the 14th chapter. And it's a message. It's a message from God. So, John, 14th chapter, I'm going to start at the 23rd verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. That was the message that he had for the Jews. Now, at that time in history, the Jewish people, their land, their country, was an occupied country by a foreign nation and a foreign army. They were occupied by the Roman Empire. They still had their own little form of government. Their king was more or less a puppet king, but they still had their government. And most of the things were being run by the Sanhedrin Council at that time. They had taxes, just like we do, except their taxes were a touch higher than ours, because they had the Roman tax, which, and I know I'm going to mess up these figures, and I apologize, it was anywhere from 35 to 45%. Okay? Our income tax is supposed to be around 33 to 35%. And then you have your sales taxes and your property taxes and all that. And it might come up to maybe 45%. But they also had the Jewish taxes for the Jewish government on top of that, which I believe was another 15%. And then on top of that, they had tithing, another 10%. you add it all up, and that's a lot. You're getting up to close to 70%, I think, somewhere in there. That's a lot out of your check every week. Plus, you were not allowed to speak your mind, your thoughts. You couldn't voice your opinions on your beliefs very well, even if you were a Jew. If you had any kind of thought that went against the grain of the establishment of the Jewish beliefs, you were punished. You were branded as a heretic, and at times you were killed, crucified. So they had hard times. Now, they were not the only people in the world that had hard times. There were a lot of others. There was a group of people over here on this continent about 300 and some years after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his resurrection that were having hard times. But their hard times were a little bit different. They had decided to stop worshiping God the way they were supposed to, the way he had commanded them, and things were getting out of hand. There was a lot of sorcery and witchcraft. There was corruption. There was all kinds of thievery going on. You couldn't put your tools down and turn around and get a drink because when you turn back, your tools were missing. It was that bad. What rulers that there were, they were taxing the people heavily. So let's read about those people for a little bit. So on page 701, and I'll just read a little bit here. Starting at the 9th verse. And it came to pass that my people with their wives and their children did now behold the armies of the Lamanites marching towards them. And with that awful fear of death which fills the breasts of all the wicked did they wait to receive them. And these were the Nephites, these people at one time were so close to God that they had peace in their country for over 200 years. With no strifes, no murders, no lyings, no envyings. That's how close they were to God at one point. But about 100 years later, here they are, waiting to die, an army of their enemies coming towards them. And it came to pass that they came to battle against us, and every soul was filled with terror because of the greatness of their numbers. And it came to pass that they did fall upon my people with the sword and with the bow and with the arrow and with the axe and with all manner of weapons of war. And it came to pass that my men were hewn down, yea, even my 10,000 which were with me. And I fell wounded in the midst. And they passed by me that they did not put an end to my life. And when they had gone through and hewn down all my people, save it were 24 of us, among whom was my son Moroni. And we, having survived the dead of our people, did behold on the morrow, when the Lamanites had returned under their camps from the top of the hill Cumorah, the 10,000 of my people which were hewn down, being led in the front by me. And we also beheld the 10,000 of my people which were led by my son Moroni. And behold, the 10,000 of Gigadona had fallen, and he also in the midst. And Lama had fallen with his 10,000, and Gilgal had fallen with his 10,000, and Limha had fallen with his 10,000, and Jenium had fallen with his 10,000, and Cumaniha, and Moroniha, and Antium, and Chiblam, and Shem, and Josh had fallen with their 10,000 each. And it came to pass that there were 10 more which did fall by the sword with their 10,000 each, yea, even all my people, save it were those 24 which were with me. And also a few who had escaped into the south countries, and a few which had deserted over unto the Lamanites had fallen, and their flesh and bones and blood lay upon the face of the earth, being left by the hands of those who slew them to molder upon the land and to crumble and to return to their mother earth. And my soul was rent with anguish because of the slain of my people, and I cried, O ye fair ones, how could ye have departed from the ways of the Lord? O ye fair ones, how could ye have rejected that Jesus who stood with open arms to receive you? Behold, if ye had not done this, ye would not have fallen. But behold, ye are fallen, and I mourn your loss. You think that's not possible. How could that many people die in one moment, in one battle? Men, women, children. It's possible. There's a place in Mexico. It's a valley. It's outside a small city that we go through. We don't stay there, but we do go through it on the way to a town called Manzanillo on the Pacific coast. In that valley, the archaeologists have discovered, buried in the soil, in this one area, hundreds of thousands of skeletons. And they were all slaughtered. Could be these guys. Could be another group. But it has happened before. So when you look at that, and then you think about the Jews at the time of Christ over in Jerusalem, think about how things are now for us. We still live in the United States. It's still a land that is relatively free of oppression. We're still able to speak our mind without fear of being brutally murdered. And yet, we are, as a whole, turning away from the teachings of Jesus Christ. So how much time do we have left? What are we going to do? How are we going to survive? You know, do you feel stress? Do you see jobs being taken away? Do you hear of people losing their homes and their work and being homeless, and it's causing stress in families, and families are breaking up? Do you see all of that happening? Do you hear about it? Has it affected you and your family yet? I do. So how do you handle it? What are we supposed to do about this? When the world around you is attacking you, what are you supposed to do? Let's turn to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Here's a group of people that were being attacked. Seemed like the whole world was coming at them. They were surrounded on all sides, and they knew that they were going to die because they did not have sufficient strength in numbers of arms and men to fight to survive. First verse of the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazontamar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Excuse me. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Are not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Didn't know what to do but pray. What do you do when it's that bad? How do you handle it? Do you get mad like the Nephites and try and destroy the enemy on your own? Or do you pray? Do you take matters into your own hand, or do you turn to God and ask Him to deal with it? To deal with your enemies? To either wipe them off the face of the earth or soften their hearts towards you? Pray that God's will be done and that He will be merciful. But don't pray for vengeance or retribution. That's God's department, not ours. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." You know, there were a lot of other times in history that people were having all of this turmoil thrown at them by their enemies, people of God. And they would come to God and they would be just, you know, freaking out and saying, "What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? God help us, oh please." And almost in every instance, He told them, "Stand still, be quiet, and listen to me, and see what I will do. I am God. I can handle this." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. They didn't have to lift a hand. God took care of it. All they had to do was what God said. Keep my commandments. Come to me in times of trials and troubles and tribulations. Give to me your problems. And trust in me. I am God, and I will deliver you. Do not seek vengeance, because it belongs to me, no one else. You let me take care of it, and I will take care of you. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berachah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Berachah unto this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries, when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. We are supposed to keep God's commandments in all that we do, and remember him all day long, so that when we go out into the world and we meet the people that we work with and we meet the people that we exist with on this planet, that they can see through our actions and our words and in our faces that God is with us, that God is taking care of us, and we don't have to be afraid of anything. As long as we are willing to keep his commandments, he will take care of us. And no matter what actually happens to our physical bodies, it's our spiritual body that counts, because it's going to last a whole lot longer than this one. Turn back to page 703. Starting at the 20th verse. O ye fair sons and daughters, ye fathers and mothers, ye husbands and wives, ye fair ones, how is it that you could have fallen? But behold, ye are gone, and my sorrows cannot bring your return. And the day soon cometh that your mortal must put on immortality, and these bodies which are now moldering in corruption must soon become incorruptible bodies. And then ye must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged according to your works. And if it so be that ye are righteous, then ye are blessed with your fathers which have gone before you. Oh, that ye had repented before that this great destruction had come upon you. But behold, ye are gone, and the Father, yea, the eternal Father of heaven, knoweth your state, and he doeth with you according to his justice and mercy. And now, behold, I would speak somewhat unto the remnant of this people which are spared. If it so be that God may give unto them my words, that they may know of the things of their fathers, yea, I speak unto you, ye remnant of the house of Israel, and these are the words which I speak. Know ye that ye are of the house of Israel. Know ye that ye must come unto repentance, or ye cannot be saved. Know ye that ye must lay down your weapons of war, and delight no more in the shedding of blood, and take them not again, save it be that God shall command you. Know ye that ye must come to the knowledge of your fathers, and repent of all your sins and iniquities, and believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, and that he was slain by the Jews, and by the power of the Father he hath risen again, whereby he hath gained the victory over the grave, and also in him is the sting of death swallowed up. And he bringeth to pass the resurrection of the dead, whereby man must be raised to stand before his judgment seat. And he hath brought to pass the redemption of the world, whereby he that is found guiltless before him at the judgment day hath given it unto him to dwell in the presence of God in his kingdom, to sing ceaseless praises with the choirs above, unto the Father, and unto the Son, and unto the Holy Ghost, which are one God, in a state of happiness which hath no end. Therefore repent, and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and lay hold upon the gospel of Christ, which shall be set before you, not only in this record, but also in the record which shall come unto the Gentiles from the Jews, which record shall come from the Gentiles unto you. For behold, this is written for the intent, that ye may believe that. And if ye may believe that, ye will believe this also. And if ye believe this, ye will know concerning your fathers, and also the marvelous works which were wrought by the power of God among them. And ye will also know that ye are a remnant of the seed of Jacob. Therefore ye are numbered among the people of the first covenant. And if it so be that ye believe in Christ, and are baptized, first with water, then with fire and the Holy Ghost, following the example of our Savior according to that which he hath commanded us, it shall be well with you in the day of judgment. Amen. He wants us, this man that wrote that, he wants us to understand the same thing that God wants us to understand. That he knows we're going through hard times. And he knows that the trials and tribulations of the world can be overwhelming at times. But that we still have to keep all of the commandments of God. And treat everyone that we meet with loving kindness. And with respect. And with prayers. John, 14th chapter. Verse. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Thank you.